We don't want them to meddle or interfere in our upcoming election.
The U.S. president is not talking about Russia. This is Thursday, September 27th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. We'd like to hear from you. You can make your thoughts known at VOA Asia Facebook. Also coming up, the U.S. president says he will have another summit with Kim Jong-un. China says no to a U.S. warship docking in Hong Kong. All on today's VOA Asia. U.S. President Donald Trump Wednesday accused China of attempting to interfere with the upcoming United States congressional elections.
Regrettably, we found that China has been attempting to interfere in our upcoming 2018 election, coming up in November, against my administration. They do not want me or us to win because I am the first president ever to challenge China on trade. And we are winning on trade. We are winning at every level. We don't want them to meddle or interfere in our upcoming election.
Trump speaking in front of world leaders while chairing the United Nations Security Council for the first time did not present evidence for his claim, which came amid an ongoing special counsel investigation into Russia's attempts to interfere in the 2016 U.S. election and concerns that the November elections could also be vulnerable. U.S. officials did not immediately respond to requests for comment, and President Trump, in a news conference that continued many hours later, would not give any reason for the comments. With the elections less than 2 months away, U.S. intelligence officials have said they are not now seeing the intensity of Russian intervention registered in 2016, but are particularly concerned about activity by Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. A Chinese delegate shrugged when he heard the U.S. president's statement via translation in the General Assembly chamber. China later denied Trump's accusation. We do not and will not interfere in any country's domestic affairs, said Foreign Minister Wang Yi, who went on to say, we refuse to accept any unwarranted accusations against China, and we call on other countries to also observe the purposes of the UN Charter and not interfere in other countries' internal affairs. U.S. officials did not immediately respond to requests for comment on Mr. Trump's remarks. VOA White House correspondent Steve Herman is in New York covering the meetings there.
This is something that's popped up in the last couple of days, and it is quite remarkable because, of course, the focus has been on Russian interference in the election that brought Donald Trump to power. And now he's making these allegations against China. Observers say usually, you know, the Russians are pretty overt about what they're doing, where the Chinese sort of lurk behind the scenes quite covertly and don't like to get caught red-handed. So we'll have to see what evidence is produced on that. But that is something that will further exacerbate ties between Beijing and Washington, which are already enmeshed into what some people see as an all-out trade war.
VOA White House correspondent Steve Herman reporting from New York City. China's state media has been placing paid supplements in major American newspapers for at least several years now. Although some journalists in the U.S. have criticized the practice as unethical, it has become common for countries and companies to strike deals for this kind of paid content that does not go through a newspaper's editorial channel. Trump's accusation of Chinese election meddling further raises pressure against Beijing during an escalating trade war. Last week, he accused China of trying to sway the upcoming U.S. midterm elections by targeting voters who supported him in 2016. Mr. Trump wrote on Twitter, China has openly stated they're actively trying to impact and change our election by attacking our farmers, ranchers, and industrial workers because of their loyalty to me. Prices for many key U.S. agricultural products have plummeted since the start of the U.S.-China trade war as Chinese importers look to other countries for their supply. We invite you to read more on our top story by following us on Facebook at VOA Asia and at the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. U.S. President Donald Trump said Wednesday his administration is planning a second summit with North Korea.
I'll be meeting with Chairman Kim in the very near future. It'll be announced. We'll announce. In fact, we're having a press conference today. We'll start talking about that. But we'll be announcing where and when in the very near future.
Earlier Wednesday, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said he is planning the summit and that it may take place after October. He told CBS This Morning, "We're working diligently to make sure we get the conditions right so that we can accomplish as much as possible during the summit. But we hope it will be soon. It may happen in October, but more likely sometime after that." Pompeo's remarks came a day after Trump touted his relationship with North Korea, telling the United Nations General Assembly it has helped ease tensions on the Korean Peninsula. Trump added that much work remains to be done with North Korea and said the sanctions will stay in place until denuclearization occurs. The two leaders met in Singapore in June. That produced a broad commitment from Kim to work toward denuclearization of the peninsula. Despite Trump's praise of Pyongyang, the Trump administration has said Pyongyang is stalling in meeting the goals set in Singapore. Washington has demanded that North Korea produce an inventory of its weapons programs and that it take irreversible steps to relinquish a nuclear arsenal that poses a potential threat to the United States. Pompeo said Kim had agreed to allow international inspectors to review North Korea's nuclear facilities, but did not comment on whether they have been permitted to do so. China has denied permission to a U.S. warship to make a port call in Hong Kong next month, with a foreign ministry official saying China issues approvals on a case-by-case basis. Beijing also recalled its top admiral from a U.S. visit before he was scheduled to meet his American counterpart, Chief of Naval Operations Admiral John Richardson. In May, Defense Secretary Jim Mattis disinvited China from international naval exercises off the Hawaiian coast. Carl Baker, executive director of the Hawaii-based Pacific Forum Security Think Tank, told VOA's Victor Beatty China's action should have been anticipated given recent defense-related developments.
One is the United States put sanctions on China for buying Russian equipment. It was the S-400 missile systems and fighter aircraft based on a sanctions regime that was put in place to basically punish Russia, but China sees it as punishing them. And the second issue, of course, is that just 2 days ago, the United States also announced that it was preparing to sell military equipment, mostly parts for aircraft C-130s and F-16s to Taiwan. So I think those two things make it very relevant to China wanting to take some sort of action to demonstrate a retribution for actions taken by the United States in the military domain.
Why would the U.S. be concerned about a trade deal between Russia and China?
It's trying to put sanctions on Russia for activities in the Ukraine. This still goes back to the United States' concern with Russia benefiting from selling military equipment outside the country. And the way they do that then is they say that they're going to punish Russia, but of course the people that get the equipment end up being punished.
How does this all tie in with the U.S.-China trade dispute?
From the United States perspective, there's an interest in broadening it beyond just trade. This is really a pushback against China. It's in the national security strategy. It's in the defense strategy that the United States has said they see China as a competitor. And so it's a competitor in all aspects of national security, not just the military, not just trade, but a broad range of actions.
China recalled its top admiral from the U.S. Why did it do that?
I think it's in response to the actions with purchase of the military equipment from Russia, but it's also, again, it's a response to the willingness of the United States to sell parts to Taiwan.
Back in May, you know, of course, Mattis disinvited China from taking part in the multinational naval exercises that took place off the coast of Hawaii. Why did it do that?
The United States is trying to send a very strong signal to China. In this case, it was in response, or at least the proximate cause was the Chinese actions in the South China Sea. But again, you know, I think it's important to recognize that the United States is taking a very broad approach to its attempt to demonstrate to China that its actions have consequences. And the way you do that, of course, is you take these actions, you start limiting their exposure to the rest of the world, and you try to force them to acknowledge that they have to change their behavior. That's from the United States perspective, I think. From China's perspective, of course, this all fills in their view of the United States trying to contain them. So you can see how the walls are being built here, that it's going to become more and more difficult for them to come back together and try to talk, because we're building these fences that prevent them from interacting with each other, not only in the military sphere, but also in the economic sphere with the trade.
Meanwhile, a Chinese citizen who came to the U.S. in 2013 on a student visa was arrested in Chicago Tuesday and charged with one count of knowingly acting as an agent of a foreign government without prior notification. He allegedly worked covertly for a high-ranking Chinese intelligence official to try and recruit naturalized citizens born in either China or Taiwan and working as engineers and scientists, including for U.S. defense contractors. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for top stories and great features to see and share. This is VOA Asia. As we continue, terrorists in Pakistan have carried out a string of attacks on religious centers, killing more than 80 people in a single incident last year in Sindh province. Now a group of worshippers from different religions have banded together to protect one center in particular, one where both Hindus and Muslims gather to pray. VOA Urdu service takes us there in a report narrated by Bezan Hamdard.
96% of Pakistan's population is Muslim. There are thousands of mosques and relatively few Hindu temples and Christian churches. This centuries-old place of worship in the southern province of Sindh stands out. It serves both Hindus and Muslims.
There is a mosque attached to it. There is a Hindu temple as well. The Muslim faith tells not to cause harm to others and to protect others' religions first and then yours. We are following this tenet. We worship according to our faith. There are no issues and no worries here.
The shrine honors Odero Lal, a saint revered by both Muslims and Hindus. The religions have different perceptions of how Odero Lal's journey on earth came to be. But despite differences, they come and worship in their own ways.
Hindus and Muslims have no complaints or conflicts. They are like brothers. The Sufi saint taught us to live like brothers. The Muslim call to prayer is followed by Hindu spiritual songs. We respect both.
The pilgrims who come at Odero Lal say the tolerance here between Hindus and Muslims is like no place else.
Wherever you go in the country or in the world at any worship place, you'll see individuals fight. But here, no one fights. They say, you do your worship and we do ours.
Hindu temples in several cities in Pakistan have come under attacks in the past. But Muslims at Odero Lal have protected the temple on multiple occasions.
We do not want to damage any temple or hurt anyone. We will protect them first and then ourselves. On Islamic holidays of Eid or other occasions, the Muslim leaders preach equality and tolerance.
The caretakers of the shrine want to keep the tradition of religious harmony and would like the government to improve security at Odero Lal.
Muslims come here and Hindus come here. They should have facilities that are not here. There are no bathrooms or facility for ablution. The government should pay attention to the needs of the tourists who come to visit this historical site so that Muslims and Hindus continue living with unity.
Visitors say Odero Lal is a great example of tolerance and giving space to people of different faiths. For VOA's Urdu service, this is Bejan Hamdard, VOA News.
The third super typhoon in a month is heading for Asia, this time setting its aim on Japan. Super Typhoon Trami, packing sustained winds of 241 kilometers per hour, is equivalent to a Category 5 Atlantic hurricane. I'm Ira Melbourne in Washington. Enjoy your day.